Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Fridays in the 5 o'clock hour during football season, we do something called Remember a Guy Friday. We bring on someone from Steelers lore. Although we did for the Backyard Brawl do a special pit edition of this. Mark May hopped on with us. That was a lot of fun. Mark had a lot of derogatory things to say about West Virginia and their football teams and fans. And honestly, so far, he's been proven pretty much spot
great,
on.
Great weather and tailgating, though, down there.
Yeah.
Very good.
It is Steelers and Jets Sunday, so our fans by popular demand have demanded this next guest. He is one of the greatest offensive linemen in NFL history. He won a Super Bowl with the Steelers, and he is on Malzi's personal Mount Rushmore of Steelers
players. Yeah, he's on Steelers Mount Rushmore for me, and it's pretty easy.
Does he have the long flowing hair on this mountain that you're picturing in your mind? Does he have goatee? Does he have...
I think goatee would be hard to do on like a Mount Rushmore here. So clean shaven, normal length hair, and he weighs on this Mount Rushmore a lot more than he does now because now I think he's running competitively. Pony.
He was. Yeah, let's see if he still is. I'm talking about the great Alan Faneca back with us here on 93.7 The Fan. Alan, Andrew Filippone, and Chris Muller, how are you today?
Good. What's going on, guys?
Are you still doing the running, Alan, now that your playing days are done?
My running has slowed down dramatically. Let's just say I casually run now.
Now, when you were doing more competitive running, what was it like?
You know, I kind of went all in. I was training for a half marathon. Well, first off, my wife ran a half, and she tried to get me to do it with her. And I was like, no way. I'm good. I'm done. This was like the year after I retired. I was like, I'm good. I don't need to do all that running. And then near the end of her training, I started going on some of her shorter runs with her.
Yep.
And I kind of got the itch a little bit. So I started to do a little bit of running. And then one day I was going around City Park in New Orleans and it's normally like, you know, a little 3 mile loop. And I said, well, I'm gonna go the long way. And the long way turns from 3 miles to about like 7 or 8 miles. And it was, you know, just like, you know, everything, it took everything I had to finish it. And it kind of got my juices flowing a little bit, my little competitive juices. And so I started training for the half. And then I come up to Pittsburgh to watch a game, and I'm talking to some of the trainers. And they were all endurance athletes, and so I was kind of pumped to tell them what I was up to and told them I'm running a half. And they're, you know, instantly were like, well, how far was your longest run so far? And I was like, I ran about 10 miles on Friday. And they were all like, oh, you got this. You got it. It's going to be easy. And I'm sitting there looking at him, and I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, you're calling me out, man. You're calling me out. I wasn't looking for easy. I'm looking for challenging. So I instantly went home and started training for the full marathon. So I had a buddy that was trying to help me. He trains runners, and he had been trying to help me. And I was like, you know, I could pull this half off. So I instantly went home. I said, put me on a program. I need to do it. But I was running crazy. I was running like 20 to 35 miles a week.
Damn,
I know.
I did that for a couple of years. I only ran the one marathon, but I did run several halves and, you know, got into trail racing and all kind of stuff. And then, you know, then my body started to catch up with me a little bit. So I started to tone it back.
I promised we were going to ask you about football, but I've run a couple of halves and still haven't decided if I ever want to do a full marathon. But I think I saw you in here. I met you in here once in our building, Alan. You were here for one reason or another. And you had lost, like, it was the first time I had seen somebody who played offensive line who had gone and looked like a wide receiver, not even a tight end at that point, I think. You lost a ton of weight through this running and everything else. What were you running at when you were competing in these marathons versus like a playing weight? Like how much weight were you down when you're putting your body through the stress of going 26 miles?
I had already...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lost about 90 pounds when I started training for it. I wound up losing about another 10 or so. I probably ran that marathon around 225. I got down to I got down to 215. I had a buddy that I played with. He played right next to me at LSU, and I'm talking to him, and he goes, it told him how much I lost, and I was down about like 90 pounds, and he was like, well, you know, you got to lose another 10 so you can say you lost 100. And I was like, damn it, I know.
It sounds like you're so, the kind of guy that if people, you know, lay out a slight challenge in front of you, there's a very good chance Alan Fanica is just going to do it.
Yeah. I guess that's just, that's what drove me. You know, a challenge has always driven me everywhere I've gone. So, my buddy challenged me. I got to lose another 10 pounds. So I got lost the other 10 so I can say I lost 100 at one point.
Alan, what do you do now to keep the competitive juices going?
You know, I still do a lot of endurance stuff. You know, I've recently picked up rucking, which is, you know, the hiking with 35, 45 pounds on your back. I still go to the gym and try and get some weightlifting in. I don't do anything near what I used to, but still pushing my body in ways that I can that, kind of longevity wise. Mm-hmm. But, still doing all that stuff to keep the body moving. You know, I think I feel worse when I stop. So I recently had a hip replacement, and, you know, I couldn't do anything for a long time, and it just drove me berserk.
You have the unique experience of having played for both of these teams that are going to do battle Sunday night, and obviously the overwhelming majority was here in Pittsburgh, but a couple seasons with the Jets, including one where you guys were in an AFC title game. I would love to know just what it was like playing here versus those couple of years in New York, how the franchise is, how things are different when you're in that huge media market and everything else, Alan.
So different. Just from a franchise point of view, you know, Steelers is very, you know, family run, family driven. You kind of know everybody in the building. Everything that everybody in Pittsburgh kind of knows and how the Steelers is. And then you go to New York and, you know, there's people working on Fifth Avenue. There's an office downtown. Lots more people working. Of course, you know, Pittsburgh's got, I joke when I go back, you know, when I first got to Pittsburgh, there was like, you came into Three Rivers and you made a right. And that was all the coaches' offices and the locker room. And besides that and the trainers, there was two secretaries and that was it. And then you went left and there was only like 12 people to the left. And that was the whole organization. Pittsburgh has changed as well. But, just different run. You know, it's more run like a business. Definitely going above and beyond to try and, spend the money. They're spending money and trying to, I think in a lot of ways, a lot of people are trying to chase what Pittsburgh has, and money doesn't always get you what somebody else has.
Alan, a lot of times in these segments, we have guys on and they remember moments in games better than like what they did this morning, for example. And so just a famous Jets-Steelers game you were a part of, when somebody brings up the divisional round game from 2004, Ben's rookie year, when you guys won by three and went to the championship game, that's 20 years ago now. What do you remember about that game?
Man, not a lot. But, you know, you want to talk about remembering things.
Yeah.
I had the pleasure of going to dinner with Franco Harris, Mean Joe Green, and myself and our wives and David Casper, the ghost from
the Raiders.
To the post. Yep.
So this is when I'm waiting to get into the hall and they're bringing you to the Super Bowl. And, you know, you kind of, it's a dog and pony show. And Franco grabbed us and it was like, you're coming to dinner with us. Let's go do dinner. So we go and we have dinner and it's just, a great night. Julie and I talk about it often, but the stories that these guys remembered, I was just in awe of how they remember things, and I couldn't believe that they remembered so much. They were telling stories like on third down in the third quarter, and you did this and I did that, and I was in amazement of what they remembered, and I was trying to figure out how and why they remembered so much more than I did. I'm still trying to figure it out, but what a great evening.
How vivid is your memory of, I don't know if it's your favorite block, but it's probably the most famous one in Super Bowl 40 to spring Willie Parker for that touchdown?
Oh, man, just the whole long, drawn-out story, how it was just a complete setup. And the coaches lined it all up, and you know, we had the plays to Randall L. We just wanted to tick them off enough to where, you know, we could get 4 or 5 yards to Randall L. in the slot to the left, to where they would just slide the linebackers over to where the right side, to where the right guard and tackle Kendall and Max could get to that front side backer, which meant that I didn't have to get them, that I could get the strong safety. And just when it came up, the coaches are at halftime, they're like, it's coming, they're gonna do it. We come out and it's, you know, right there in the third quarter, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm in my stance and they're slid over, and I'm like, holy bleep, man, here we go. Just like, man, it was amazing.
I mean, it's wild as somebody, I didn't play football. You know, I talk about it, I love talking about it, but I didn't play it. And people always talk about how nuanced and intricate it is. Just all of that work to set up one crack at it, and you know you're probably not getting another one if it doesn't quite go right, right?
That's it. You got one chance to get it right, and that is it. And, you know, it was all built up to that. And, you know, we all knew we had a part to do. And, you know, I'm lucky enough to have the famous part, I guess, of it. Besides Willie getting the record for running it, you know, everybody remembers me getting the pull. But, you know, everybody had their part in that.
Alan, are you still keeping up on the Steelers, or are you so busy with the running, with the weighted vest in the hiking areas? Are you still finding time to keep up with the Steelers these days?
I am. I do my best. You know, I'm not dialed in 100%, but, you know, if I can catch a Steelers game or a moment away from the kids, I'm not on a soccer field. I am definitely glued in and watching how things are going.
What's your one observation you could share with us on this team, whether it's the offensive line or something else about them that stands out to you?
You know, kind of perseverance. You know, that's what comes to mind for me. You know, it's not always perfect, but they've been finding, you know, ways to get it done for the most part. You know, I mean, they very easily could have a couple more losses in the L column, and they don't. And that's, you know, that's, I've always told people, you know, like I said earlier, you know, people want to know what's in the secret sauce in Pittsburgh. And it's always the guys in the locker room. I've always said that, you know, the locker room that the organization puts together is worth a couple of wins. And it makes a 8-8 team, a 10-6 team, and you're in the playoffs, and you're probably not even the last one in the playoffs. It's definitely the secret sauce is the guys in the locker room, the guys and the camaraderie and the you know, the will to win those games and make those plays happen so you can win the games. That's the difference. That's really, truly the secret sauce in Pittsburgh.
Alan, I'm sure you'll be watching Sunday night. You're down in Louisiana, correct?
Yes.
Chris Muller, my co-host across from me, is infamous down there because a couple of years ago he made gumbo. And the gumbo looked like pulled pork over white rice, and he posted it to Twitter.
It was tragic.
And Alan, Emeril,
Ryan Clark,
I mean, all of these.
Every famous Louisianan in the entire country ganged up on me on Twitter.
He had an entire state that said, delete your account. It looked that bad.
Brutal.
Oh, well, hey, I'll give you, you get an effort. At least you tried. But I did not see that. But that does not, if it looked anything like I'm imagining that photo.
You wouldn't want it. You wouldn't want to see it. If you saw it, you probably would have refused this interview straight away and said, I'm not going on with these guys. Dude, can't make a respectable gumbo. Hey, Alan, thank you so much for doing this. Our listeners love hearing your voice again. Whenever you're back in Pittsburgh, let's meet up, okay?
Let's do it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
You bet. There's Alan Faneca. He's the best. He's
awesome.
Awesome dude.
That dude, I love hearing him just talk about the Super Bowl 40 play. I know it's been diagrammed and people have told similar stories, but when you're watching the game, I think especially with running plays, right? When you think about like waiting a whole game to get a shot at something, people think about like a trick play or maybe like a play action bomb. They were waiting an entire game to get a shot at an off-tackle run.
I know, you're right about that.
It's crazy, dude.
Yep.
It's really
honestly
wild.
Not to like turn something positive into like a negative or bad memory, but that was honestly the problem with Canada is that he could not set up plays
to get to the play
that he wanted to spring a big play.
He had
no sense for how to sequence plays.
There's an art form to play calling. You can have the most brilliant designs ever, but you have to be willing to, I think, sometimes take 2 or 3 yards or even 1 yard just to show a team something. But just to hear him say, oh, yeah, we waited that whole game to hope we could get one look to run one off-tackle run, and then, boom, they got it.
In the conversation for the greatest guard in NFL history, Alan Faneca right there. At 5:45, it's time to start your weekend off right with Archie's Famous Wings. The Hodgepodge is next. Some of your calls sprinkled in, too, at 412-928-9370. Then it's PM overtime at 6. Here's a headline. Here's a fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Low of 49 degrees. Here's a message from Malzi.
Yeah, thank you, Pony. Shorkey Mitsubishi, North Hills. That's what I want to tell you about right now. Mitsu by the mall. Tim Ferrara, the general manager, and his team have great deals lined up for you so you can fall into savings right now. Start with this. You got something to trade in probably, right, if you're looking for a new vehicle? Of course you do. I hope you do. Because if you do, Shorkey Mitsubishi is paying 125% of Kelley Blue Book value for your trade. So that's a great start. Now, if you're looking at 2024 Outlanders, 2024 all-wheel drive Outlanders, there's 0% financing on all of the 2024 Outlanders on the lot. There's also 0.99% financing on all 2024 Eclipse Crosses. Two great choices here. When you get into 2025s, the Outlander hybrid all-wheel drive, you can lease one of those starting at just $269 a month. You get a ton with Mitsubishi, including that peace of mind from the 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. What are you waiting for? Find the Mitsu that fits you at Shorkey Mitsubishi North Hills. Mitsu by the mall and online, ShorkeyMitsubishi.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.